Hey, I'm Ron. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I'm glad you're part of the team. Are you experiencing health at its fullest potential? Are you informed about the latest exercise and nutritional trends? I'm here to help coach you in making better choices. I am passionate about health and wellness, sports and competition, marriage and raising children. If any of these topics are appealing to you, you're in the right place. If you want to check out more content, you can always visit me at theronyoungshow.com. Or you can always email me, theronyoungshow@gmail.com. Here we go, episode number 4. I'm happy that you've tuned in. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today. And I'm hoping what the information that I have for you gives you good value and certainly helps you to evaluate your own circumstances right now and why you are, or maybe why you are not exercising at this moment. And if you are not exercising, perhaps this will be the thing that will prod you into it, that will get you going, that will get you excited about it. And it's something that's, you know, a hot topic for me, and it's exercise in the brain. You had to know, I'm 3 episodes deep already. I haven't mentioned much exercise, and it's one of the things I'm most passionate about. So on this episode, I'm going to be covering exercise in the brain. First off, I want to thank my sponsors today. And the sponsor who I want to thank today is actually Maestro Music. Zach Havens out of London, Ontario. If there's one way to grow and develop a brain, it's by challenging it with music. It's by learning notes, learning songs, and really coordinating the brain activity and the neuroplasticity of the mind to do great things. So check it out. It's maestromusic.com, or maestro.com, I should say. Get it right. If they're paying you, you better get it right. Anyway, the one thing that I want to start out with here is that it's simply never too late or too early to start your fitness journeys. Of course, a lot of us are at many different parts of our journey, and we take many different paths. I mean, sometimes exercise comes easy to us. Sometimes it's a big time struggle. We need to do it within group settings, or perhaps you're the type to throw on your headphones and just drown out the world and go at it lifting weights. Whatever you may do, what I want you to know now is that no matter where you're at in that journey, you can always progress with what you have. I mean, there's people right now who perhaps only work out once a week, or there's people who maybe only go to the gym once a month. I mean, because they feel guilty, they're paying the membership. But overall, I want to encourage you to evaluate your current situation, think why you go to the gym or why you don't, and figure out what you want to be doing with your time. Exercise has so many different proven benefits. And for those of you listening today who think maybe it's too late, I want to urge you, I want to encourage you that it's not. It's not too late. It's never too late to start an exercise program, no matter the age that you are. I'm going to give you a story of a former client of mine. And he is such an amazing guy. He has such an interesting life. But anyway, in working together with him, we came to a point where he had just had a relatively unfortunate diagnosis, but he had a carotid artery blockage. And for those of you who don't know, the carotid artery is one of the main arteries that supplies our brain with fresh blood. We know that blood soaks the tissues. It is our way of transporting nutrients throughout the body. So it's very important to make sure that that's not blocked. Bob started exercising when he was in his late 60s, early 70s. And he exercised daily, walking, going to the gym, making sure he was doing all the right things. Because of this diagnosis, he thrust his body into a state of health, making sure he was hitting his targets, making sure he was hitting his goals. And the one thing that I found really interesting was not only was he exercising regularly, but he was also doing so in keeping a healthy diet in mind. And the one thing that he did was that he chose to go towards a vegan lifestyle. Now, I know that there's a lot of health benefits towards eating plant-based diets, and I'm going to be covering that on upcoming episodes. Of course there is. I mean, there's also a lot against meats. I'm not saying don't eat meat. I'm not saying eat meat. I'm saying do what's right for you in your situation. But as soon as this patient started to consume a vegan diet, he started to see that carotid artery blockage start to shrink. Now keep in mind, this is at the later stages of his life. So it's very interesting to see this these results. And he would come back yearly. They would always measure the blockages yearly. And he would say, it's down, it's decreased because I'm exercising and my diet is a lot better. So therefore, it's never too late. The one thing we do sometimes, we exercise for injury prevention or perhaps rehabilitation. A lot of athletes you'll see exercise to make sure that their bodies stay in tip-top shape. They want to make sure they don't get injured. They sprain an ankle while skiing down the slopes, or perhaps hurt their wrists when they're boxing, or even injure their core if they're doing something a little bit more technical like wrestling or football. There's that type of exercise as well. We also exercise to meet our goals, training for a race, sporting event, and obviously we exercise for the outward physical appearance. That's what most people would go for, I would suspect. I urge you, I want you to start exercising not for the beach bod, but for your brain health. And that's going to kind of come out of left field right now, but please bear with me as I continue to explain. Exercise and brain health have been scientifically proven through a lot of different research to really go hand in hand. If you exercise frequently enough, you will experience good memory, good cognition, good thinking, good recall. Lots of different benefits stand to come up when you are exercising frequently and using your brain. Obviously, those are two things that I hope never stop happening, especially later in life, or especially early in life too. I mean, we want our young children to be active so they can do well on tests, so that they can explore and use their mind to the fullest potential, right? In a study done at the University of British Columbia, researchers actually found that regular aerobic exercise, it's the kind that gets your heart rate up and your sweat glands pumping, that appears to boost the size of the hippocampus. Now, for those of you who don't know, the brain has many different areas, lobes, different things like that. But the hippocampus is actually the brain area that's involved in memory and learning. And if we can see that there's a consistent relationship between exercise and the brain, why wouldn't you exercise? I mean, if we want our brain functioning properly, it's something that we really want to make sure we're practicing on a daily basis. The brain is such an interesting thing. There's been lots of studies looking at the plasticity of the brain. When I say the plasticity of the brain, I mean that it's able to change, adapt, grow, branch out, and really be adaptable given our situations. You have to think of your brain as a root system. Some of the most mature plants have some of the biggest, deepest, widest roots, and rightfully so. They've endured. They've stood the test of time. They've had proper nutrients. They've, been watered. There's lots that can be said and lots of parallels to compare that to brain health. I mean, we want a good brain full of connections, full of little roots, full of big roots that pass back and forth communication bits, pass back and forth our memory, short term, long term. We want brains that have a great root structure. So bear with me on that example because I know it to be true. I know it to be true so much that in the one book I love, it's called Spark, it's by Dr. John Rady. He's awesome. Harvard psychology professor, I do believe. Sorry, Doc, if that is incorrect. But what he did was in one semester in 2007, he studied a group of students who suffered from attention deficit disorder and improved their reading and comprehension scores by 50% more than fellow students who did not take part in physical exercise. So what he did was he basically told this one school, I don't want you to change anything. I want you to keep doing school the way that you're doing school. Keep teaching it the way that you're teaching it. But simply what I want to do is enforce an exercise program at the very start of your student's day. make them run a lap, make them maybe do some push-ups, squats. I'm not exactly sure what was involved in that, but it got the kids' heart rates up. It got them exercising. It got them moving. So they were much more apt to succeed when it came to doing well within academics. And that's something that we want for all of our young kids, isn't it? So maybe the next time your kid's studying for an exam, don't let them cram the last 20 minutes and head out the door to go write it. Maybe force them to do a little bit of exercise. Go for a jog. Clear their mind. Their recall will be a lot better if you do stuff like that than forcing them to jam as much information in as possible. If the information's there and you're going to the well and it's dry, what good is it anyway, right? If we look at some of the most popular journals within medicine today, there's one that was cited about 2,700 times, and it's within the neuropsychological journals. It quotes this: "Exercise is a simple and widely practiced behavior that activates molecular and cellular cascades that support and maintain brain plasticity." There's that word again, popping up, right? It induces expression of genes associated with the plasticity, such as the encoding BDNF. Okay, that's a brain-derived neurotrophic factor. It's a protein that's used in nerve growth, BDNF. Okay, remember that. And in addition, it promotes brain vascularization, which is basically a big word for making sure that it gets proper blood flow to it and within it. Neurogenesis, so creating neurons, and functional changes in neuronal structure and neuronal resistance to injury. So making sure that the structure of the neuron, which sends signals from our brain to our muscles and within our brain to other neurons, are good in structure and they resist injury. Right? Significantly, these effects occur in the hippocampus, which again, we're bringing up the memory center of the brain, a brain region that we know is central to learning and memory. So if you're not exercising now, and perhaps you're in school and you want to do better in school, I'm going to urge you, maybe you do need to do more exercise. It's not unrealistic to think so, given the fact that, you know, we have great scientific evidence to support that. The other thing I want to lend your attention to is exercise and well-being, because we see it across all different age groups. And that's the thing that's most interesting to me, because exercise isn't just for teens, people in midlife crisis. No, it's for kids, it's for elderly, it's for everyone. And I want you to be encouraged that no matter where you're at within your fitness journey, that you can continue to see progress within your health. In children, physical exercise is correlated with high levels of self-efficacy, task goal orientation, and perceived confidence. So kids believe in themselves more. They believe in themselves more when they have been exercising. They are much better with task, goal, orientation, and just their overall competence. They feel like they're important. In youth and adulthood, most studies evidenced that physical exercise is associated with better health outcomes, such as better mood and self-concept. And there's lots of different articles that I'm not giving you right now that back that up. Biddle et al., 2011. Berger and Molt, 2001, Landers and Arendt, 2001. These are studies that have been out there for your viewing pleasure, if that's what you like. But these are things that are out there for everyone to view and analyze, and things that have been studied and criticized. And if you look at it in later life, in the aging population, physical exercise helps maintaining independence, as Stressman and all, 2009, favoring social relations and mental health. So if you're worried about your mom or dad aging and you want to make sure that they stay independent a little bit longer, have them start an exercise program. Because if you can remain having your muscles strong, reliable, you're not going to lose your balance. You're going to be more stable, right? These are things that you stand to benefit from by joining an exercise program or making sure that you seek experts who know how to prescribe exercise, such as myself. If we look at it overall, there's cerebral structure changes. There's increased levels of neurotransmitters. So those are the things that go across the synapses within your brain and your between your nervous cells to transmit signals. There's increased blood flow, cerebral blood flow to be specific, and there's maximal oxygen consumption and delivery of oxygen to the cerebral tissues. So there's so many different things to suggest that yes, this is a benefit to most people. Yes, this is something that you want because there's extra blood flow going to your brain. You have better memory, recall, different things like that. And you know what? It's outside of the everyday norm. Most people want to look better in the mirror. Most people want to feel the pounds shed. But if you can also have great blood flow to your brain, good memory recall, good test scores when you're young, like those are other benefits to exercise people don't often see or readily state them as their goals. And it's something that you can achieve and do now if it's something you're not doing currently. I know what you're asking or thinking in your brain right now. And it's, Ron, well, if I'm supposed to start an exercise program, what's the most effective type of exercise? Well, guess what? I have an answer for you. Besides frequency and duration over time, even the intensity is a parameter to be considered. So making sure that you are doing the right intensity when it comes to physical exercise and the effects that it has been shown on to have with the brain. It's been shown actually that moderate intensity exercise is related to increased performance in working memory and cognitive flexibility, whereas high intensity exercise improves the speed of information processing. So it's almost like your brain is, you know, your brain speed correlates to your exercise speed. I'll say it like that, just so that we can best describe it. If you're working on a moderate intensity exercise, then you're going to have good memory, good cognitive flexibility. You're going to be able to troubleshoot problems fairly well, and that's all in good. And if you do high intensity, well, guess what? The high intensity actually correlates with faster information processing. So that's a really cool thing to be able to have in your arsenal and be able to unleash. It's stuff that you don't notice until you sound so smart when you're talking to somebody about something you saw in the news and you need to recall it or process through awesome loads of information. Be encouraged today. There's so many different reasons why we exercise. I just gave you many why exercise and the brain go hand in hand. But why do you exercise? Is it to lose a few pounds? Is it to gain muscle? Is it to make sure your brain function is still good and well, now and later on into life? Are you exercising because you enjoy the social aspect? Perhaps you need to be in a group. Perhaps you like to just shut down and not think. Put the headphones in and, hey, I'm on my own. This is my exercise, my timed exercise. I'm going to just seize it and not let anyone disturb me. Well, let me tell you this. Giving you some reasons for exercise with the brain. There's lots of benefits. No matter what your reasoning is for exercise, what I want to encourage you to do is continue to do it consistently, frequently, at good intensities that are going to align with your goals, and that you don't get discouraged. If you're fluctuating a pound here and there, if you're trying to get that next breakthrough and you're frustrated it hasn't happened yet, it will come. There are other areas that you can help clean up and certainly get on the right path. But exercise is for everyone. Whether you're young or whether you're old, whether your goal is to lose 50 pounds or 5 pounds, whether your goal is to just be eating better or perhaps eating less because you already eat fairly well. Think about those things, apply it to your life, and be healthy and live well because of it. That's all I got for today. Thanks for joining me on this episode of the podcast. Of course, next week, tune in. I've got another great show full of content that you're going to want to fill your cranium with, and I'm going to be happy to have you along. pretty soon in the future, I'm going to be having a lot more guests on the show. So it's not just going to be me and my thoughts out there on the airwaves, but I'm going to have some good conversations with people in the field, experts, dietitians, kinesiologists, doctors, you name it, I'm going to have it. And if you want to send me a bit more information, you can always email me. It's theronyoungshow@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Of course, if you want more exciting content, you can always go on the social media platforms. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Please visit me, The Ron Young Show. Search it. I'll come up and you can check out more content.